Where's my puffy chair?
It's there.
It's under there. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you as well, Logan.
Is that that little one? Is this recording?
Yes, it is indeed.
Okay. No, because I was going to say about Conspiracy.
Oh,
was,
yes.
Yeah, towards the end. And have you seen... I've seen both versions. One with the where they don't show the head exploding and one that does show the head exploding.
You are spoiling it.
But obviously this is not going to be part of it.
You're spoiling... No, but you're spoiling it for Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
The head explodes.
Yeah, there's a proper... Oh, wait, no,
yeah,
we're getting...
Yeah,
we're getting
no, right.
Here.
Yeah, okay, right, so...
So, as the... Apparently, I'm the host, as usual. I don't know why.
Because you're the middleman.
Because you're the charisma.
Wow.
You're the middleman.
Oh, dear.
You're the charisma.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm the charisma vacuum.
I'm the Brandon.
And you... We haven't decided what you are.
Yeah. I'm Grappler Zorn.
No, he is bags of mostly water.
Yes. Isn't that where all this started from? Remember?
Grappler Zorn, yeah.
Just after you started working, and I said something about bags of mostly water. And.
So, oh, welcome to Baldy Speaky. No, but this is the worst name ever. I can't even remember
welcome
it.
Welcome to Butt Stuff as well. I thought you were going to say.
Bald, spiky, and bearded. It's just so it's not just a TNG podcast if we decide to do something else later on.
BSB.
BSB, yeah. B Sky B, yeah, sure.
Isn't that breach of copyright or something?
Oh, yeah. So, today's the day. This is the episode we've been dreading. It's the Code of Honor.
It's the planet of the particular people.
The planet of the particular... I don't know what you could be referring to. So, right. So, you've actually made some notes. This is the first time I've seen you... This is the most I've seen you write about anything.
I'm going to... You're right. I've thrown a book.
It was empty.
It was pictures. Just pictures.
I was going to say, which one?
You just like coughed into a book and closed it.
It was called Planet of the Black People by Brandon Kempster.
I'm going to try and make notes from now on because I always find myself sitting here like just scrambling.
Well, they did
remember.
Pretty good, to be honest.
Well, and I learned from the last episode that it's worth reminding yourself, even though, you know, it's nice to see it through his eyes.
It was nice
to revisit the episode.
I did rewatch this one very recently, actually.
Yeah.
Because it is rather infamous. Yeah, I mean, for a progressive show. But anyway, go on. What as an overall thing? What was your overall impression of this amazing episode? Code of Honor.
How did this get on TV? I mean, I know I've said this for like every episode so far.
That's the question. Yeah, if you think about it, would that episode be made now?
Oh, no. Not even slightly.
No, there are so many. I mean,
it's an odd thing because it's not the fact that it's a planet of, you know, black people and mostly negative stereotypes. It's not overtly referenced. It's just there.
I think one of my notes is literally everything feels disco for some reason. Like,
I saw a review of this once that said that this might as well have been in the original series. I mean, everything about it is very 60s as well,
Oh, for sure. I mean,
To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if it hadn't been reworked.
Oh, it might have been a script, yeah.
Yeah, from the 60s that never got made, you know. But
But there's a lot in this this whole series, series, which is very much... This could have been in the original, but with none of the charisma of Captain Kirk or anything, the sort of boring characters that we've got at the moment anyway.
I suppose they're trying to like...
I think we did raise a point, I think in the first episode about... last episode where, this one should have been a bit later on.
You know,
like the... was it The Naked Now? Should have been a later episode rather than, there's... Better episodes that should have, you know, sort of,
oh, should have come. Just to introduce the characters, sort of build the characters up a bit.
Yeah.
This one definitely is a, it's definitely a easing people into a new type of Star Trek. Like, as you say, it's definitely like the writing's very similar to like the original series. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just people, it's, you watch it and you're like, okay, you clearly did this so that people who are diehard fans of the original can be like, well, this still has the same sort of vibe to it.
So, like, because a big thing about this one is that the Lutan, is that the name of the guy? He sort of falls for Tasha Yar. Mm. Now, if this wasn't the original one, who would that have been?
Might have changed gender roles, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Mm, you know.
So like the women leader. Lutan
would have been a woman, and
a woman. Oh my god! Right, this is the thing, because Demos and I have just for like years just gone a woman, and Brandon had no idea why, but now he finally knows why.
So yeah, first, after they kind of go to meet this delegation from this planet, because there's a virus and it's killing people, and they. Well, we don't really explain much about it other than it's killing loads of people. All the like every other scene is just like, but the virus is killing people.
What about the vaccine?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is what I do randomly walk around and go, crisp and clean and no vaccine.
It's in my notes.
Because this guy sounds like the 7-Up guy. If you've ever watched this is before I was born, I think, but... So there's these old 7-Up adverts where they go crisp and clean and no caffeine, but he just sounds like that guy.
He does. I agree. Like, oh man.
Oh, dear.
So they get beamed onto the ship, this delegation party, and you know the genie of the lamp kicks kicks out a rug for his master. Like they're all dressed like.
Yeah.
Like a genie. It's the only thing I can think of, you know, like kind of curly shoes, baggy MC Hammer pants. And
there was
like...
a genie in Pee-wee's Playhouse that had that same kind of dress as well.
Like literally, it's that. And so they've got beam technology because it's their own beam technology, isn't it? They're not being beamed up. They are sending themselves up, not being pulled up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think they have their own effect and everything.
Yeah, they do. It's a slightly golden one. And so, you know, the kind of, I'm guessing like the leader, like he's got to be like the king or like, or something of.
He is the first one.
No, he's not the first one.
You're right.
He's not. He's like the leader of the harem.
we just got to get this out of the way that we're just going to be talking about race stuff.
It's going to be very careful. Yeah. Yeah. This episode is going to be a little close to the line, I think, but we're good people. I promise.
We are good people.
Again. A question: had Gene Roddenberry not been involved in this episode, would there have been other coloured people, other colours of shades of people?
I've got to be honest, though. I'm surprised. One of my notes is that I'm surprised that Geordi's not that prominent in this episode. He has like one little bit. But then it's like, it's almost like, okay, well, we've saturated this episode. We don't need to put Geordi
in. I reckon he's probably gone, yeah, you know what? I don't want to be in on this.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably a bit early for him to be doing that. But His name is Toby.
Was this before then?
Nothing was afterwards, wasn't it?
Well after. Yeah, well after.
So, again, they kind of, so I'll kind of run you through how the beginning goes. They come on, the guy, the king, or Lutan comes on.
Hello.
And he's got, like, all the outfits are just spectacular. Like, Zoltan! Lutan! All the outfits are just spectacular. And, like, but for some reason, they're all very chesty. Like, I think one of my notes is just the word chest, because, like, constantly they've got their chests out. And someone's trying to hand over like a peace offering or something. And
no, a sample of the vaccine.
That was it.
Yeah.
And in typical, what's that? I keep forgetting her name.
Tasha.
In typical Tasha style, she just backflips this guy. Like grabs him by the arm flips him on his ass.
What does he say before he does? Yeah. She does that to him.
Ah, so it's like, this is my security officer. And he goes, oh, woman!
But then the guy
when he walks up to give the thing to Picard, he goes, out of my way, woman.
Out of my way, woman.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, I fair play to Tasha. I'd be like, screw you.
Fair enough.
Indeed.
Yeah. But and it's one of the few times where Troy is actually useful. She actually says, don't apologize. Don't apologize. Yeah. Don't want to be seen as weak.
Yeah. Mm. There's a lot of that. Like the whole honor code in this episode just confused.
Code of honor.
Yeah.
You see what they did?
Just like, drives me up the wall.
It looks like an amalgamation of different cultures, earth cultures, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know.
Sort of a bit of this, a bit of, you know, sort of Mediterranean, a bit of, you know, African, a bit of Chinese.
There's these odd, like, they seem to make reference to a lot of cultures in this. They're like, oh, yes, from the Ming Dynasty, we are giving you this gift.
Similar culture.
So they say, like, here is a gift, like, you know, you remind us of a lot of earth cultures, so here is a gift. And I'm like, okay, so they're going to give them something African, I'm guessing. And it's like, no, here is a Chinese thing. And I'm like, how are they? That is not what I want.
Generic foreigners.
But the actual gift itself, if I remember rightly, looks like some sort of horse or something.
Oh, I can't remember.
But it looked hideous.
Yes, but it's a gift of peace. And yes, we give you this piece of cheap plastic and we want all your vaccines. But how bad is this disease that they can't make their own vaccines? I mean,
well, I think there is a bit where Crusher says to Picard that they've tried to replicate it and it just doesn't.
It's unstable, yeah. Yeah, it's fine as a injection, but once they try to replicate it, it's unstable.
Future reference, I know, but, you know, this wouldn't happen with Pulaski. Oh, no.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, no, you will.
Spoiler alert.
You will.
Spoiler alert.
Useless bitch mother doctor. Useless.
What I also don't get, though, is there's a scene, like, after they've given them a gift and welcomed them and all that. I can't remember. I think Picard stands up and he does, like, a little... Lutan stands up and he does a little speech. He's like, yes, I will give the vaccine
to all who need it.
And everyone just starts clapping. And I'm like... They really need to clap.
The
really,
image
did
that
you?
Started a million memes, the smug Picard smile when he does the clap, he kind of goes... Yeah. And so that is, I've seen that meme so many times. And the thing is, you know, we all know Patrick Stewart's a great actor, but that, I just laughed when he did that. He's like, yeah, absolutely. We're so great. Everyone's so great. Like, oh, shit.
It's like, do you remember in Birdemic where they're going around the table clapping?
This is the level we're working at. Oh, God, the clap that went on forever.
Yeah, it could have been that.
I've not seen Birdemic.
I'll show you a clip of it afterwards, but it's just, there's one scene and it's not extended. Yeah. It's like a 5-minute scene of just people going, well done us. Yeah, good for us.
But then the clapping sort of naturally stops, but then it comes back on. But then this would be great for audio editing. It cuts, and then the clap's like, fever pitch again. Like, what's going on? And they're all kind of shaking. Oh, God.
Sounds like a film that I need to watch.
Oh no, you do need to watch it.
Birdemic. We should do a special
shock and terror.
Yeah, we should do a special podcast just for Birdemic one day. What else have I got here? Everyone claps. Weird situations. Oh yeah, it's a planet of sexists. That's all my note says. Planet of sexists.
Yeah.
Well,
coming from a culture that can be quite sexist.
It's leading into it again, isn't it?
Who's that then?
I come from a culture that, well, actually, we all
yes,
we're all,
from,
yes. We're all Mediterranean,
from cultures, yeah. Exactly. That can be quite misogynistic, shall we say. Yeah. And it is a horse, isn't it? Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, we've got this video up at the same time.
Yeah, I know, because I can't see it. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Everything that I hate about my culture. Is that it just, yeah, it's sort of, ugh.
So is this the point they go into the holodeck?
This is before them, like, I am great, and we are all great. It is a horse, isn't it?
It is a horse, yeah.
Yeah, and it's hideous.
It is. It's,
so it's from the Ming Dynasty.
I didn't know that. The Ming Dynasty did horses.
I thought it was just vases.
I was going to say, are we just going down stereotypes today?
Yeah.
is that what this episode is?
This is the episode of stereotypes.
There's a few of them, actually.
It gets raunchy, to say the least. I mean, TNG is just someone on TNG was clearly not getting laid enough, because every episode so far has just got mad undertones of sexual tension.
This is pure Gene Roddenberry. I mean, I've done a lot of reading on him, and this is him. This is all him.
Really?
Yeah. I seem to remember. Right, we'll get to this episode, but there's an episode where they go down. Oddly enough, to the planet of white sexy people.
Oh yes. Where with the wheel.
And
you've got that to come.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, but there was a script note that said, yes, there should be lesbians down there all kissing all the time and everything. and this is Gene Roddenberry written all over it.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
That's right.
We'll get to that.
So they're talking, and a lot of it is kind of like, you know, a woman should kind of know her place and be, you know, a woman needs to like be seen and not heard, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very like those sort of vibes coming off of the
I like the way that they set it up, that, you know, the woman owns everything. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But you don't.
Yeah, it's all in the woman's name.
But you don't find that out really until the end. Like, I didn't, like, it's only in, like, the last couple scenes,
yeah,
you know, which we'll get to, where they really point out that the woman has all the money, and it's like, it depends on who they choose, you know? Because there's a lot of, especially the main kind of plot point of this, it doesn't seem like the woman gets any choice in anything, but towards the end, you're like, oh, hang on, they do, so I don't know if that was them backing up real quick, like,
probably,
or what.
Calming it down a bit.
Because he's initially then, like, I like Lieutenant Yeah, I like this woman.
And what was it? She will do.
She will do.
Oh my God. Yeah, they have like a little sidebar, don't they? Like, when everyone walks off, he's like, this woman is interesting.
But no, just before they go to the holodeck, I find it weird that Picard's like, maybe Commander Riker and Counselor Troi shall demonstrate all this to you. Like, Why them?
I think maybe they're aware that they're a little bit sexist, and he's trying to be. Well, in a perfect world, it would be that they're like, yeah, let's go make an example, show them the women are strong, you know. But as you say, it's probably not that well thought out. It's probably, as you say, just Gene Roddenberry being like, women. But so they go to the holodeck. And
is this the first time we see the grid, the holodeck grid?
It is the first time we see the grid, yeah. Which I have seen.
I don't think you saw in. I think in Farpoint you saw them bounce that rock against the wall,
yeah.
Which I think showed a bit of the grid. But I don't know if you actually saw the grid fully.
Mm. Yeah, so this is cool. It reminds me very, like, it's a very Tron looking thing.
It is a bit Tron, yeah.
But I dig it, you know. And they walk in, and I think what note did I put it? Because I was like, they walk in and they go. You can create people without a soul?
Without a soul.
And then all I could think of was, you're on a fucking spaceship. You know, like...
Well, they've got beaming technology, so, this is the weird thing, and this happens a lot in Star Trek, where these people are very scientifically advanced in some way, but, like, have some very basic human traits missing.
That is, like, 30% of my notes here, is how it's like, how much technology do they have? Like, there's a point where they shoot lasers into the sky.
And I'm lasers!
Like, and I'm like, but like, you know, women's rights is a far concept to them. Like,
do you know what? It's actually one step better than the planet of the Romans and the planet of the Nazis from the original thing, where they're all like, they've all got technology or something, but they just happen to be Nazis. So actually, it is a step up from that. I've got to give it that.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, even the Orville did one, but at least that was a little more kind of like a social...
I think it's tongue-in-cheek as well.
It was a social commentary. You know, there was one where they went down to... There were two. They went down to a planet that was controlled by likes and dislikes.
Oh, I saw that one. That
which
was
is very social commentary, very good. But then they did one which was all based on, like, if the world followed astrology rather than religion. So anyone born within a certain month, you know, if they were a particular star sign, they were just bastards. They were like, we lock them up.
Didn't Black Mirror do a similar thing with the likes and dislikes thing?
Maybe.
I know the Orville definitely did. I'm sure Black Mirror did as well.
It's been a while since I watched
Black Mirror. I vaguely remember Sliders doing.
Sliders.
I love that.
Wow.
That was brilliant.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Did an episode or two about astrology, about where they went to a planet that was all, mysticism and, you know, astrology and that. And
I just had an idea in my mind that Russell Grant was like the king of this planet.
Oh my God.
That's a niche reference for you.
Yeah, you won't get that.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, carry on.
You're too young, far too young. Bless.
We pushed him off his.
No, I'm just catching up with it. So then they have this kind of, they do this little karate fight, and she summons, and she like spawns in a random dude, you know, and they're really surprised by the fact that they can make a hard light hologram kind of thing.
Was the dude black as well?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, I just for some reason
they're fighting a white person.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In white suits.
In a white suit. Oh, white. Yeah. Yeah. But so they kick off and it's like, yeah, look, he doesn't respond to me, and he like with a few waves in front of him. But as soon as they start fighting, you know,
NPC type thing.
But then there's just this really unintense fight scene. I don't even know if it's a fight scene. Like the camera pans back and like some generic music plays. And it's just like this really like I'll put it back. The fight scene between Tasha and the robot, like the room,
the made up guy.
Yeah, it's just really unintense. But I feel like they needed to put more intense music on. Again, weirdly, I mentioned that as well. Like you're just on all my points today. Let me unmute this for just a quick second so you can hear it. Oh, I think it is unmuted. That's how unintense it is.
And then the other guy gets a chance to fight him as well, doesn't he?
Oh, no! It's the clapping! The clapping's still going on! they're still in the observation lounge clapping.
There.
Oh, I remember this now. Yeah, it's very...
Yeah.
And it's just the sound of rustle. It's like ASMR almost.
Yeah.
You just hear the clothes rustling.
And this is the weird thing, because like the Next Generation eventually gets known for its music being a bit bland, but the music in these first couple of series is one of the few really good things about it. And yet, there's nothing.
Wasn't it all synthesized though?
It was certainly
I think third season that they actually got their own orchestra in.
You can certainly tell the difference, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then, obviously, this guy's like number one steps in to have a have a bit of a fight with him as well.
Yeah.
Oh no!
He gets his ass handed to him.
And again, you know, boom, ends up on the floor.
This is like this guy's like flipped over like twice now. He's just doing his job. And so, you know, after this, I want to see Zoltan. Or Lutan. Is it Lutan?
Lutan.
Who's the computer from Power Rangers?
Zordon.
There you go. His name is Zordon.
Zordon.
Don't know.
So, you know, Gobbler Zorn tries to fight them. This is the point. You know what? Little did they know that the guy they spawn in is actually Gobbler Zorn. So they have a little karate fight with Gobbler Zorn then. And that's how he gets into
that's why everyone gets their ass kicked, you see.
Yeah.
And then he kidnaps Tasha, doesn't he?
Yeah, so then they're literally straight after this, like, cool, we're going to go now. We got all we need to know. And he's saying goodbye to Picard. He's like, let me say goodbye to Tasha more especially.
Say goodbye.
You know, and then, like, as they hold her hand, he just bloody kidnaps her. Just, like, out of, like, it's so... I didn't know where this episode was going, and then it's just like, oh, you're my wife now, and just left, and I'm like,
what's that? The, you know, hello Dave,
Holly,
you're my wife now. Yeah, you're my wife now.
League of something gentlemen,
extraordinary gentlemen.
I don't think it's a story.
It's you know, you're my wife now.
It's the oh god, you know what? It's hang on.
What was that?
I'm trying to think if I'm allowed to say this. It's the one who was in blackface.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
the gollywog kind of looking guy.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Do you not remember it?
No.
I'll show you.
It's a sketch show.
Oh, was this the Harry Enfield thing?
No.
No. But it's like, this is a local town for local people.
Oh, League of Gentlemen. Yeah, League of Gentlemen.
League of Gentlemen, that was it.
Yeah, the League of Gentlemen.
Yeah, and
was that from that?
Yeah. And he's like, hello, Dave, you're my wife now. And yeah, so he's just like, you're my wife, and just bloody steals her. And the whole premise of the episode, from what I've gathered, is I've captured you, you're my wife, you know?
But have you noticed how she doesn't seem that bothered by this?
Yeah, like all the way through, she's like, ah, I'm going to fight for the vaccine. There's even a bit. I will get to it in a minute, but she just flat out admits to just being like, yeah, I'm into it. Oh yeah. And then they find
I mean, this is a woman who's like, who's forever going on about, oh, rape gangs, you know. Oh, God, yeah, I don't like being taken against my will.
And then, God, I forgot about that.
Exactly. And the second she gets kidnapped, she's like, yeah, I like him, sure, yeah, why
trauma,
not?
Trauma breeds kinks, man, you know.
But I'm not by like that.
But geez, like, so it makes me giggle a little bit because, like, he just kidnaps her. And then. It's just like, you have committed an unfair act, you meanies. He just seems so, like, bland about it. He was like, you naughty boys.
That's the thing, Picard's a bit weak in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very much. In fact, he almost congratulates him for it.
Is there?
He almost congratulates him for actually doing it. He's like, I'm very impressed with how you did this.
It just walked up to her and teleported. There was no skill involved. And then he's like, fire the display blasts. And it's like, he's just shooting bottle rockets at these guys.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
It's like, I've never heard the word.
Fancy light show.
Yeah, right? I'm like, what's a display blast?
Is it I've heard that one before.
Fireworks? Yeah. Or is it just like shooting laser pens out the window? I was like, what's a display? What good is a display blast? You turn it on your high beams, mate, you know?
Ow, I'm slightly annoyed.
So, yeah, they fire off some display blast, whatever that is. And then...
Give Tasha back.
I can't remember. They're talking about something. They're talking about the details or something, and Data pipes up, and he's like, well, here's a bunch of facts. And everyone just looks at him and goes, like, shut the fuck up, Data. And it's so mean, because he's just chilling there, like, really casually explaining.
Oh, yeah, well, isn't there... There's a bit in... I don't know if it's around the same time or if it's later on, where he talks about the French language.
Oh, the obscure language.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And that's when we do find out that Picard is French.
But just... And just everyone is looking at him like, why are you talking?
Well, like, at least he realises his whole shtick is that he carries on talking and everyone has to tell him to shut up. At least then, like, they actually looked at him and went, what are you doing?
It just made me giggle because for a split second, I'm not even joking, I thought he went off script. And the entire cast was just like, why are you talking?
It's not your turn.
Oh, damn pop-ups.
You wouldn't get pop-ups on this totally legitimate...
Totally legitimate DVD set. But,
the language is very unnatural in this still.
They're very wooden still. This whole episode, I noticed, was very wooden.
I was going to say something about... Spoiler alert. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so, okay, so he has a little... He sends him a message and he's like, okay, you know, I don't really appreciate this. And he's really just, as you said, he's quite weak in this episode. He's just kind of like, I don't really appreciate this. Can I have my crew member back, please? You know what? We didn't say they could go out and play. So, I mean, you know, they're grounded.
Because, I mean, I get the whole thing of, you know, we don't want to push these people because, you know, we need the vaccine for these people we don't care about or even know about.
But the vaccine, so many people are going to die. Like,
who are these people? I don't care. But, he could have been a bit more forceful.
This is, and there are points where he starts to think, why don't we just blow the planet up? And it's like, now we can't. You know, kicks the charred, like, I can't.
They don't mention the Prime Directive or anything.
Mean, should.
The Prime Directive!
They've been beamed up, so they know that, you know, no Prime Directive. So, yeah, but shoot
the
bastards.
They do mention the Prime Directive.
Do they?
Yeah.
But they've beamed them up. They the whole point of the Prime Directive is, like,
I think this is prior to them knowing what the Prime Directive is.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
So after that, like, after a couple of minutes, they kind of just go, like, it just sidetracks into a really weird bit where, I'm still learning the names. The Doctor.
Not McCoy. Crusher.
Crusher. So Crusher walks in and...
Oh, I remember this now.
And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, the vaccine works in a syringe, but I can't replicate it. And it's like, cool, there's the MacGuffin that stops us from just, you know, using what we have. We have to make friends with them. But then it's just out of nowhere. It's just kind of like, so about Wesley, my son. And it's like, what?
And this happens a lot in this first series where they're like, there's really bad things happening and suddenly it's, Oh, Wesley, let's talk about Wesley. Oh, this is a big crisis. Let's put the child in the front seat pressing all the buttons.
It makes me laugh so much because she's like, so about Wesley, and I shit you not, Patrick Stewart just turns around and goes, who? Like, his face is so kind of like, who the hell is Wesley? What? Who?
Your son.
Oh, yeah, because he's like staying in the, he's like banned from being on the deck after last week. That's a conundrum.
It's like, well, yeah, people have said before, he should have been put in freaking prison.
Right? So, like, he's just like, okay, you know, can I talk to you about Wesley? And I was like, who the hell is that? He's like, he's got this really weird kind of face on him. And it's like, we don't know. So, and then it's just, as you say, it's like last week he nearly killed the entire crew and they're like, let's stick him up front on the bridge. Sorry, Data.
Now, if you were going to do anything, you'd put him in, actually, maybe even in been brig. In this season. The brig. No, but there's the episode later, and I just remember Patrick Stewart actually saying, Picard to turbo lift control. And you think, wow, who works there? What kind of job is that? Like, put Wesley there. If you're going to get him to do anything, right? You put him somewhere out of the way where he can't fuck anything up.
Oh, but so they literally kick Data out of his seat. Yeah, it's this bit here. Yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, about Data, about that face. He's like, who? Oh yeah, he really just he has no idea who he is. It's like, how did you forget him?
How did you've got a son?
Oh yeah.
But, you know, any good captain, I mean, imagine Captain Kirk would just go, piss off, woman.
Can't smack, you see we're dealing kiss. With, yeah.
in that order. But no, we've got a crisis to deal with here.
That's all I
had. Lieutenant Zold.
So he comes out and he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. In the middle of this crisis.
You're missing a crew member.
You just had one of your main characters stolen.
Oh, yeah, one of your friends. Yeah, one of your friends.
And,
yeah,
you know, you're pretty close. What's he? She's the security chief. Yeah,
Data's lover.
Yeah.
And, my security officer, my lover officer.
Well, you think your security officer, that's a pretty high role as well.
Yeah.
You know, so they're missing. They've not like put anyone else in that role at the moment.
Worf's like sitting in the background going, me, 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 me.
And so they just kick Data out of his chair and it's like, why don't you go, you know, come on, Wesley, why don't you go sit in operations or whatever? Is it operations?
Yeah, I think it's operations, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, let's get this kid to go and help with operations.
In the middle of this crisis.
Yeah, and I think there is a bit where Data's standing there like, that's my chair, man.
I suppose I'll just go and clean that.
This is the bit with the counting coup.
With French, yeah.
The French.
And again, so obviously, Jean-Luc Picard, although he's meant to be British.
Well, it's the whole Earl Grey tea thing as well. Well, I suppose they haven't really done that yet, have they?
No.
But yeah, he's the most British French person ever.
Is he French? Like, or is he
British? Oh, no, he's French.
There's episodes later on where it is firmly
established. Yeah, because he has a vineyard in France. Yeah,
his brother.
Yeah. Mm. Well, in Picard, he actually lives on that vineyard.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously, again, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Things happen.
But yeah,
look at that smug grin. Sorry. Like, what's the name of the first officer again?
Riker.
It's very telling that you keep forgetting his name. No, but the thing is, I totally understand why.
I forget a few of their names. I'm still learning a lot of their names.
He's very bland in this so far.
Yeah. Until he gets the beard.
Yes, I think the beard fixes him, actually, to be honest.
He's just smug look. And he just leans, he's like, shut the fuck up. Okay, back down, man, back down. Back it up.
Creepy looking almost. But the thing is, and I've seen someone make this comment before, surely French is obscure by that point. You know, Picard isn't speaking it.
And he's French.
Yeah.
Well, is French a thing still? Like,
got the universal language?
Everyone's speaking English.
Yeah, everyone speaks English.
We'll get to this like eventually, but like the brother, I think he didn't talk French.
British as well.
Oh, of course he's British, yeah.
Do you ever meet aliens that they need a translator for? Other than, obviously, they speak Klingon. And
yeah,
stuff
there's
like that,
great but. Episode.
Oh, yes.
Great episode.
Darmok and Jalada Tanagra.
Oh, my word. One of my favourites.
In fact, you've probably seen that in Lower Decks. You've probably seen the Darmok and Jalad reference
in
Lower Decks.
I've seen references.
Honestly, you're going to love that episode.
But yeah, no, I think all the aliens, everyone, they just speak English. Mm. But at the moment,
there are a couple of places where the translator doesn't quite work.
Oh, yeah. They do the TARDIS things on occasion, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. And so everyone turns around and is like, the best course of action here is to be patient. They respect patience. It's like, but what? We don't, at this point, you don't know why they've taken her. Yeah, no one on the crew knows. So it's like, cool, we're going to kill her, you know? Best thing to do is be patient and wait. Do they respect patience? Yeah, give them all the time in the world to kill our first officer, you know, kill our security officer.
But you think that, okay, they're trying to be diplomatic, you know, they're Starfleet, they're diplomatic anyway, but they have a ship with massive phasers, they could just threaten them.
He actually does say that.
He does, right?
Does he?
He does say that to...
later
is
on.
Is it Riker or Data? He says it to someone.
When they're inspecting the weapons, he does mention it because they think it's a joke.
With all this power, we could just, you know...
snuff them out in an instant. Yeah, and go and take
what
vaccine,
we want.
Yeah. You know?
But then the Prime Directive.
That's when they mention the Prime Directive, and then they say something about, you know, I'm also a member of Starfleet, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
it was Data. It was Data.
Yeah.
Because he says, I'm a member of Starfleet, and...
They're very high and mighty about Starfleet in these early ones. Like Starfleet is like the best thing in the world. We're so superior.
Mm. So they call. Eventually, they do call up Lutan.
Hi,
and it's like, what's this? And they're like, well, now we've been patient. The best thing to do is to ask nicely. And it's like, oh my god, what is going on with this episode? And so they call them up, and they're literally like, hey, can we have our friend back, please? You know, it's like. I think they literally go, can we please have our security officer back? And they're like, yeah, sure, come down.
So, yeah, we have arranged a banquet in your honor.
It's like
sorry, I'm doing this bad.
Oh, yeah. And then, what's it, Data says about, because isn't it, there's a bit where they're discussing who's going to go down, and Riker doesn't want Picard to go down because obviously he'd be in danger, but they tell him that. As an honoured guest.
As an honoured guest, yeah,
something
it'd be good.
Like that, you know, be bad, bad juju if anything happens to him. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be, I've put in quote marks here, you need to be a bitch politely. You know, it's like, yeah, come down, you know, we'll throw a banquet for you. And again, it's super chest, just all the chests everywhere. Just chests on show for days. You know, and it's like, okay, so how close? And that was it. Riker's like talking to Picard, I think, in this bit, and he's been super chill with him. He's just like, yeah, man, don't be a dick, you know. And I'm like, I know you're the first officer, but like, how close is this relationship? Because I thought you just joined the.
Yeah,
I
think they don't get it right. You know? Yeah. It gets a lot better later on.
Again, you know, sort of this should have been slightly later because, I think that's the bit I'm going on about, isn't it? Where he's saying that he doesn't want Picard to go down.
Yeah, and he's like being really kind of chill about it and saying, "Oh yeah, you know, like don't yeah. if you die down there, I'll put you in the brig or something." Whatever he says, and it's like he's the captain. Shut up, you know. It's like,
he's the first officer, and
I know,
it's his job to make sure that his captain is safe.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
which obviously is a new thing. Compared to the original series,
because it's the slightly worse thing of like, oh, okay, in the original series, let's bring down the three main officers of the ship,
and someone else in a red shirt to get killed, be killed off.
They're all red shirts here.
So you're important. You're important. You're important. I'm the only one here. Oh man,
that is done so well in Galaxy Quest.
Oh yeah,
that honestly.
What's my last name?
Guy.
Do I?
For anyone who hasn't seen Galaxy Quest, we're just making noises.
You have to watch it, honestly.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
I think there was a quote about it being the best Star Trek film ever made.
And I think they did an official poll, and it actually ended up on beating a lot of actual Star Trek movies.
Am I right? Am I quoting this right? By Grappler's Hammer, you shall be avenged.
By Grappler's Zorn's Hammer.
Grappler's. By Grappler's Hammer, you will be avenged.
Actually,
Grappler Zorn.
What's his name? Alan Rickman's character looks a bit like Grappler Zorn.
He's not far off, is he?
Oh my god, he's an analogue for Grappler Zorn this whole time.
So they eventually, you know, they eventually get beamed down to the planet, and it's like very kind of Naboo, kind of like, you know, it's all like African kind of like, not safaris, what's the word? Like not deserts, I can't think of the word.
Settlements,
or like plains, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they've got like weird, I can only relate it to like Jabba the Hutt's palace. You know, like it's like a dome kind of building with like, yeah,
Underdome.
It looks like a giant cupcake, but made of stone.
The only thing I remember from that is that they, well, actually, I suppose this is during the fight, that instead of clapping, they do their ding, ding,
the, yeah, the little the little sticks. And so this is where we get introduced. This is where we get introduced to the.
The woman.
Yeah, the woman.
The first.
His first.
His first. Yeah. His first. But this is where I get a bit confused, because he calls her his first.
Yeah.
And then later on, she chooses someone to be her first.
Yeah.
So is it a two-way street where they're each other's first, or is it something to do with how they've been chosen?
Oh, God. You know? No,
don't you know? I don't know if it's actually fleshed out that well.
I think at the end they tried to pull back a bit.
Yeah. But he does turn around and say that he wants Tasha to be his first, and therefore that
it kicks off then
that kicks off the fight.
Mm.
That's the thing. Like, if she has all the power, if he chose Tasha as his first, would he still keep his power?
No, he would. He would inherit
her power.
Because it's all about killing
Tasha
her and the money.
Kills
as well.
His first.
Oh,
he inherits, and that's made quite clear.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so
he's getting women to fight his battles for him.
Pretty much, basically. Maybe some weird thing to him. Maybe he's just bust and he needs to like get the inheritance. You know, maybe it's like a Dixie murder kind of thing. So
it's actually quite progressive in that way. Yeah. It's the one progressive thing about him, like women have the power.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, sort of like I said before. Yeah, that it sort of turns the tables around, you know. Sort of.
There may be some actual, I mean, I really don't know, but there may be some culture
There are cultures like that.
That's the only reason I think that they would have done that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
otherwise, it, like, considering how backward this episode is.
Mm. Yeah. No, there are cultures that have, and I think still, where the women have all the power.
Gladly, that's not here.
Whoa! Chill out, Lutan. God, go put your chest away.
I need a woman.
Cook some sticks
cover your chest.
Damn it! I wish I had some sticks.
But he like so they get to the planet, right? And then he's like, "You've not been very polite," says the man who stole a woman.
Yeah.
You know. And it's just really confusing, because it's like, what's the point? They're like, oh, yeah, so we're going to invite you to a banquet so you can ask in front of everyone for your lieutenant back. And it's like, why are you going? Like, they're talking about honor and all this, but it's like, what's the point in standing in front of everyone to ask for your friend back? You know, there's no, that's not honor. That's you being like, here, be my bitch, you know?
When you get to the point of the banquet, when Picard asks for Tasha Yar back, then he turns around and says, "No, you can't have
you
her.
Can't
back.
Have her.
Oh, yeah, I want her to be my first." Yeah. And then that.
But
he's
so he must have planned this whole
yes,
time.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You know? So it's literally him just saying, wanting Picard to look like a fool in front of everyone.
It's not that.
But
because all he's worried about is, you know, getting rid of the wife so that he can inherit everything.
But, like, if he knows that he's not going to give her over, why bother bringing him to the banquet? Wouldn't it be easy if you were just like, nope, bye, not doing it?
No, because it's all about show. Yeah, it's all about the show in front of all these people.
That's what I mean. He wants everyone to see that this spaceman has come down and been like,
he's got the one better over than the...
it's showing that it's wanted. It's this is a desired person. Yeah.
Exactly.
Dick measuring, frankly.
I don't know why. My notes just say Lutan dot 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 Zoltan. So maybe I'm just like, maybe it's just like a link. Maybe they say Lutan at some point. And I'm like,
Zoltan, ha! Zoltan!
No, it's from Dude Where's My Car when they find the cult, and it's like,
oh, no.
Zoltan!
No, I keep going to Sontarans.
Yeah,
Sontar, ha! See, look, it's totally Jabba's palace. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
And some guy
juggling axes. Okay, so what happens next? Well,
this is the bit where Picard asks for her back, and he says no, because I want it to be my first.
Mm.
And thus kicks off the fight.
And again, I'm looking at all of this. I'm looking at like their kind of culture and what they kind of how they live their lives and kind of like how scared they are of like some technology. Because there isn't, apart from maybe like a light, there's no technology around, you know? And they, I think they do talk about how like they aren't that advanced, you know? They've got like, they don't have like guns or anything. They have swords and shields and stuff. But
they have this vaccine. Like they're weirdly advanced in some ways.
This is what I mean. So it's like I think they're talking about the vaccine. I'm like, I don't understand how they have a vaccine, but everything else is so like they didn't get the tech, like their level of technology right. Like even if it's like a hidden thing, like they just don't like showing off technology. They should still have. It should Wakanda. Still be clear, right? But it should still be clear, you know. Oh man, and then it's just, yeah. I've made notes. The clicky sticks.
Yeah.
I've made notes here, and I'm like, I'm not entirely sure what they reference, but I've done one that's just like, no wife, no life.
Oh no. I just remember the line, and you shall have no vaccine and no lieutenant. Yeah,
that's it. And then that's I think later on,
no treaty. That's it. No treaty, no vaccine.
Where I put it? Somewhere in my thing, it does say crisp and clean and no vaccine. Yeah. Because that's the bit And the thing is, I don't know a lot of where you get like a lot of the references and stuff. So I'm watching this and it reminds me of what you say. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. So I'm glad I'm picking up on where these things came from.
His first challenge is Tasha to a duel.
A duel.
To the death.
To the death.
No woman has done this for over 500 years.
No life. Yes. No life.
Oh, my word. That was so wooden.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So overacting. It's the one time where the music was a bit overbearing as well.
Yeah.
It was like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And it's just, so, you know, that now the new threat is that, like, they have to somehow save Tasha, but they also need to allow their tradition to kind of play out
so
they
can get the
vaccine.
Let him have her.
It's just this vaccine doesn't make it. There's really no way.
That's the MacGuffin, isn't it?
It's the MacGuffin.
The vaccine is the thing that they're there for, and they can't replicate it. Therefore, they have to find a way to get everything, tie everything up.
Needs of the many and all that, I would have just left Tasha there. Okay, you can have her. Fine. Well,
yeah, but then they wouldn't have got the vaccine.
No, they would have.
He might have just done it just to be an arse. He might not have given them the vaccine. But
he said, if you go keep the girl, you can take the vaccine. It's like, yeah, sure. You know, they were cool with it.
That wasn't the point there. He needed her to fight his wife. And kill his wife so that he can inherit everything. That was the whole plan from the beginning.
As we can see, Tasha can handle herself, so like she'd be fine.
That's why, she will do or something
she
like that.
Do.
Yeah. So it's been a plan from the start to kill off his wife.
Yeah, as soon as from that first aside.
I didn't even catch on to that,
The first aside.
From the first sidebar.
I think you're giving this episode too much credit. They had this foresight.
No. It is. If you, because I've seen this.
He wants to kill off his wife for the money and then marry someone else. And he's like, I found a woman stronger than my wife.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, this starts to make a lot more sense now. It doesn't seem as random as I thought.
No, it's not random. It was his plan right from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she has a plan too.
Yes.
Maybe.
Well, we find out later.
Yeah.
I think they plan it later. So they take another sidebar. You know, they go after she's stretching in a room, limbering up for whatever may come. And they walk in and they're just kind of like, hey, the only thing I can think of is, you know, when you ask someone a question really quickly and they panic and answer truthfully. So they walk in and like they're having a little chat and out of nowhere, the psychic one's just like, do you want to fuck him? And she's like, yeah. Like, it's so out
modern women talking about sex, man.
It's so random. Like, she just randomly starts questioning her on, like, if she's interested in him physically. And, like, Tasha's like, yeah, well, of course I am. And then, like, there's, like, a weird silence. And she goes, oh, you tricked me into saying that. It's like, what? And so, yeah, there's just this weird kind of back and forth between Tasha and
Troy.
Troy.
Yeah.
About how she's attracted to him physically, but only physically.
I think that this is a classic men writing women type scene. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, modern women, yeah, we could talk about sex, that kind
but
of thing.
But it's not even that sexy. It's just kind of them being like...
Again, awkward. Series
so
one,
are you, you into it? Yeah, I'm into it. You know, it's just kind of like, and there's other bits all the way through this. It's that's laced in there that he's like some really attractive guy, you know? Like all the way through this, the women are always like, who would not want to be with him, you know?
I think even his wife that does that.
His wife literally says, "Who would not want him?"
Yeah,
you know,
because she says something about, "I'm only doing this for the vaccine."
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't want him. Who would not want him?
Yes,
yeah. and it's
so
just...
charming.
And then we get to the fight scene.
Is that in the gladiator chamber?
Yeah, the laser
with the
laser dome. Laser dome.
So where are we at? Yeah, so all the women are throwing themselves at who? How could you not want him and all that jazz? You're mine, girl.
Oh, it's a fight to the death, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
It is a fight to this. Yeah,
yeah. Everything is laced with poison.
Oh yes, that's...
yeah. Everything and then they kill one of the spectators.
Yeah, yes. I make a note about that. Yeah. So they're like.
So, oh God! Yes, yeah, so I remember now.
We're missing. There's a big chunk we've missed there that's really funny, and I want to point it out because of one reason.
Go on.
So they have their little chat and everything, and it's like, you know, I'm fighting him for the vaccine. It's like, yeah, sure you are, honey. But the next scene,
whatever.
Yeah, the next scene. I don't know why this tickled me the way it did, but it's it's just Geordie shaving.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I don't know why it makes me laugh.
Data's joke.
Maybe I'm a bad person for this.
Is this the Kiddlies bit?
Yes.
That was in this episode?
Yeah.
What? Why?
So I feel mean talking about it because, you know, but it's like he's blind, you know, and he's standing there with this, like, you know, soapbox apparently.
Well, so it is like an 80s razor.
No, it's not. It's like hang on, let me get
like it looks. I seem to remember it looked like a cheap 80s razor.
Yeah,
it's a proper futuristic razor. Like it looks just like like a blue bit of like.
Plastic,
yeah, like blue see-through plastic. It's taken ages to buffer. But yeah, he's standing there, and he's got this blue bit of plastic, and he's doing this, and Data's like, you know, the new ones can do a better job. And he's like, no, I like the classic ones. You know, sometimes our high-tech stuff can cut too close. And it's like, you're blind. You are literally... Like, he's got his visor off at this point well.
Oh, God, yes, yeah. So he's not thinking he can see the whole spectrum.
Yeah. Like, it's just like a blue block, you know? And he's just like, so he's just doing this generic kind of shaving motion, you know, and I'm like, you're like, in the nicest way, you're blind. How do you know what you're doing?
He's blind from birth, I suppose. He just had to work it out.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I could shave without seeing.
Well, there's funny enough, there's a Switch game where you have to try and do that, and it's harder than it looks. I have tried to shave for blind, but anyway, so I'm like, if you were blind, you would get the machine to do it. Let's face it, you know, like, not saying that you'd be incapable of, you probably could, but just for like simplicity of ease of life.
To be honest, even if you weren't blind, you would.
Yeah, right. And this whole thing is like, sometimes it shaves too close.
This is probably getting a bit ahead, but. Isn't there a barber on this?
Yes. Yeah.
Another great episode.
Literally series 7.
Another great
episode. The barber.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it's earlier than that.
Is it?
Yeah. It's isn't it part of Starship Mine?
Oh, maybe. Oh, yes. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, because he actually says he's Mott the Barber, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you'll get to see Mott the Barber.
Yeah.
And then, like...
So why have a shaver?
He's like,
go to the barber.
He's like Star Trek's version of the soup Nazi. Just like this random character that just appears once or twice, and then he's like the most famous character ever.
Incredible.
Almost as famous as Groblo Zorn.
Right, well, he's in every episode.
Yeah.
So well, actually, I mean, Groblo Zorn works in the barbers as well in some episodes, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's in the background.
He's the guy who works up at the turbo lift control.
He's got multiple jobs. He's got the Zorn. He can do anything.
So, so Data then makes a joke, which is just... I don't.
Bad,
but what's
a bad
the
joke.
Lead up to this? Sorry.
It's random.
Just,
it's
literally they're shaving.
Yeah, he's shaving. Yeah.
I'm blind. Yeah, right. Is it, and also, is that a dig at Data? Where he's like, too many things. Are to, like, it's like, oh man. Yeah, so he's asking him about if he can do humor.
I remember this only because he seems quite not remorseful, like sulky. He says, you know, constantly, my friend. Almost too emotional for him.
But then there's just this aggressive joke telling. Like, Geordi tries to leave the room, and Data's like, doof, 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 doof.
You notice he actually reacts to him walking up to him, but how when he is blind?
A vicinity.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I suppose maybe his vicinity. You know,
maybe Data really stinks.
Smells of sulfur.
Brimstone. From the pit he crawled out of. But yeah, so he just like aggressively, without breathing, tells the joke. And obviously it's him trying to tell the joke wrong.
Yeah.
You know, trying
and then
to...
he gets it wrong, and that's the funny bit about it. But, yeah, but what's that got to do with the episode?
I seem to remember that Geordi does really bad jokes too as well at some point. It's like one of the future episodes. He tells Ghibli really bad Ghibli's jokes
or something. Yeah, that's what. That's just yeah,
including the kiddlies.
Yes. Oh man, and then like they just get, again. It's then, I think it's them trying to show that they have lives outside of this. Like while everything's going on, they're still living their lives on the spaceship. Like they've not been called into action up until this point. So what were they getting on? Well, they were living their lives.
Do you know what it probably is? Oh, we've paid these people. It's, I think it's what's known in the industry as padding.
Padding, true. So Picard calls him down to the planet and is like, guys, can you have a look at these weapons and find out what's going on with them? We want to make sure we know what we're dealing with here. And they turn around and it's like, it's a sword. You know, it's like, it's sharp and pointy.
But
this does find out, yeah, later on they find out that there's like poison and they can...
No, they know straight away. He tells them that there's poison on everything. Oh, yeah. Everything's got poison on it.
And from that, they can figure out a cure.
But just not... like they could, you know, with a certain disease that they're trying to get a vaccine for.
Can't make a vaccine for it, but they can make a bloody clue. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, you know, and this is the point where I'm like, up until now, look, like, Geordi's not been in this. I'm like, why has he not been in it? Like, surely of all the episodes, this was going to be... But I think you're right. I think he kind of looked at it and was like, I ain't touching this. I ain't touching this. You leave me alone.
Near this, yeah.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, I mean, if this were later on in the series, he'd probably have the power to go, no, I don't think you should even do this, or we should severely rewrite this. Mm-hmm. But they probably didn't have the power then. So. Yeah.
This is also a point where we mentioned the Prime Directive, because it's where Geordi tells a joke, and early Geordi says it sounds like a joke or something. Mm. Because it's like, yeah, it does sound like a joke. Mm. With all our power, we could just wipe them out.
Oh, yes.
You know, and he turns to Data, he's like, Data, you know, as a computer, you know,
oh, I forgot about the
find
joke,
out everything that we need, kind of thing. What do you think we should do? And it's like, and Data's like, if this is true, we could do this. But I'm also a member of Starfleet and the Prime Directive. And then he slaps him around and takes control of the ship.
No, they do all this high and mighty stuff about the Prime Directive. In fact, to be fair, they even do it a lot in the later ones where the Prime Directive is.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't I like Data?
You still don't like Data?
I don't like Data.
To be fair, don't think there's anything at the moment that make... Yeah. I'm thinking of the episodes you've watched and thinking not many of them he's very likeable.
Episodes. First four episodes.
Yeah. In fact, it's probably series two. And it probably is Measure of a Man, where it's proper decent episode. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But do you still like Wesley?
I'm still okay with Wesley. I can see why people don't like him, but I'm okay with
So this is the bit where she's going into and say about...
Why wouldn't you like him?
Yeah.
But it's like... Pause it. I'm pausing it.
No. I was just going to say, just skip to the fight scene because we've talked about...
Oh, yeah. I'll let this talk, but you can't play through it. But, the whole thing is just them being really kind of like... The whole way through it, it's like proper like disco, proper like foxy kind of... It's really leaning into the stereotypes, you know, of these of this sort of like film genre, like of like TV shows and stuff to do with like black people and stuff. And it's like, you know, we say...
Why did you go quiet when you said black people?
Because I don't know if I'm allowed. Like, stigma to it. You know,
we've passed the looking glass with this one.
Yeah,
but you know, it's so. Like that's why we're, you know, that's why we, the tongue in cheek joke of it is that it's called the planet of the black people, because it is just really leaning into all these stereotypes. You know,
but it I haven't seen any explanation as to why they lent so heavily into it. Like, was it an accident? Or like, it can't have been an accident that they did all
no,
this.
No, no, not at all. I don't think for 1 minute that it was by accident. I don't think anything there, and especially sort of for future episodes and new races that are introduced to this, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the next week.
Yeah.
Next week's episode, yeah. Like we were talking about before we started, that there is a lot of underlying racism.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
I think next week is Jews, isn't it? It's, yeah, okay, carry
the
on.
Jewish people get their, yeah.
The comeuppance.
It's at least little bit more subtle in that one.
Yeah, but...
Also, so when they kind of give their analysis back, Data does something about 2 of 22. Isn't that a Borg name or something? Like, I am 2 of 22, you know?
When was that?
Don't remember.
There's a bit where he does the, he's like, he's giving back like some stuff and he's talking about sticks and how it's like 2 of 22 is like, you know, talking about like a math scenario. And when he says 2 of 22, all I can think of is like, that's a Borg.
7 of 9. Oh, I don't remember that, no.
No, I don't remember that.
I'll show you after. We're not going to do it now. Yeah. But then they play Deal or No Deal for the weapon. You know, there's just red boxes are brought out, and she's like, yeah, this one. And it's like the spiky gauntlet, you know? And it's really weird. And everyone's banging. Oh, yeah, and then they turn on the big laser grid that shoots up into the sky and just destroys the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And again, how do they have this technology? But not.
You know what? When I saw it, I was half expecting the guy from Gladiators to go, you will go on my first whistle.
Oh, man. And it's like.
Wasn't that around the time of Gladiators?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, there's a random side bit where like they're like, hey, Wesley, get in the captaincy again, you know? And it's like,
oh. Yes, actually, I mean, because I don't remember the Data and Geordi scene, but I do remember the Wesley bit just randomly being poked into the episode.
In unneededly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, now this is where I finally click on that everyone's got happy sticks. And during the battle, instead of clapping or cheering, they're just going, click, 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 click. And it's like, what are these sticks for?
Do you know what? I just... There should be merchandise that she'd be able to buy happy sticks.
Well, it wasn't that Vuvuzelas.
Oh, God, they're annoying.
Anyway, so Tasha wanders out ready for this battle.
With a headband.
With a headband. Thank you.
Well, she's got long-ish kind of floppy hair.
Right, so look, literally, first thing is, why is she wearing a headband? Who is she, Rambo? The karate kid?
She's got the same hair as the Karate Kid.
And so I was really not, like, I was like, who is this? No. So I'm really kind of off put by it.
At this point, you expect it to go, oh, da, da, da.
And then, like, I'm straight away, I'm like, why is it that every time I see a Star Trek battle scene, all I can think of is the Gorn music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It should have.
Nah, yeah, but have you ever noticed the standing?
Oh, yeah.
I was watching it again, and it was like...
This is the HD thing.
And I actually had to rewind and say, that was not her.
No,
it doesn't look.
I know.
Like
do you know what? I'm gonna give him a pass on this because the HD thing, the remaster thing. Because I remember we watched in Encounter Farpoint when they're in the court scene and she suddenly starts beating up people, and that is clearly a guy in a really bad wig.
Oh my god!
But I think the HD remasters kind of showed that off a bit more.
Really?
Because
I never noticed it before.
I never noticed it until
I was watching it on Netflix.
It's the HD versions, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
It's a totally different woman.
Oh, it's probably, I think it was actually a bloke in the first one.
Yeah, no, this definitely was.
I was a woman. Oh, my God.
There we go.
And she's full on disco fever again, you know? Like in this one, like shiny one suit. And then they throw one of these poison gauntlet things.
Yeah, one of them goes flying off.
All right, there it goes.
There we go.
It shoots off because of the laser beam.
Yeah,
and guy catches it. Everyone's like, yeah, I caught the football, you know? And then it takes so long for them to be like, oh, he was stabbed. Bit of raspberry jam, mate. You're fine.
But it's the classic Hollywood thing of, oh, I die when I notice it.
But then what I love most is they drag him off. So a guy dies. And everyone's like, clappy sticks! Yay! You know, it's like...
But, I mean, we know what happens eventually that she gets... God, the fighting is so bad.
Right.
Here. Just after that... Yeah, just after where she pushes her over, Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he jumps up. He's like, no, because this whole time. He's been
That's a totally different person to there. If you could rewind it a little bit, yeah, there. That, again.
It's like, only demons would notice.
Have
you even noticed that we eventually find out that she gets beamed up, and then because they've got the antidote to this,
jumps on her. Body slams her, and then gets beamed up.
This poor sod who's been whisked off dead. Why didn't they do that for him?
He just dies. And I just love it though, because nobody gave a shit though. Like this guy could have been a father, you know.
There you go.
He dies, and everyone's like, clappy sticks.
Oh, and there's clappy sticks. Stop.
Why isn't Daddy coming home today? Someone chucked a gauntlet at him. Oh, okay.
So what you get for going and watching the footy, son. Blimey.
Is this their Hillsborough disaster?
Sports bad.
And the whole way through, Lutan is just really into it. He's like, yes, fight for me. Probably like sexual thrill.
But that's the whole point of it.
I know, but it's just really odd. You know, and then when she dies, she body slams her. She just lays on top of her and gets beamed up. And I'm like, you have the technology to beam more than one person. Why are you lying on top of this one? You know, that wasn't needed. It's like body contact. It's like, okay.
Oh, do you know what? Again, pass on this one because you need the Starfleet comm badge to beam them up.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, All right. Fair enough.
I can't believe I'm defending the realism of this episode.
And this is it. He gets mad and he's like, you've taken both of them. No vaccine. And I'm like, crisp and clean and no vaccine. So this is where I kind of clock onto that. And he's like, no, it's fine. You know, we'll take you up now and you can, you know, you. Oh, no, that was when he finds out that she's alive. He's like, no vaccine. You know,
but he's like, well, no, she passed the test. She killed her.
Yeah, she died. Yeah. She came back though, and it's like, yes, and because I've died, I am no longer your wife.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
The marriage vows are broken.
And it's like, and he's like, oh, but my money. He's like, my money. Yeah. Just nicks his and just kind of goes up to him, steals his necklace. I'm guessing it's a symbol.
Marriage.
And gives it to this other guy who's shown no interest the entire time, apart from no, don't die. If I knew picking up women was as easy as like, oh no, don't die, I would have been doing a lot better than I did. Oh man. Anyway, and he's like, you are not civilized, and it's like, this is coming from the guy who kidnapped a woman, lets people get poisoned, just watching a show. And won't give a clearly needed vaccine to a race of people who are dying.
Think of poor Jeffrey. Poor Jeffrey, the guy who got stabbed with a gauntlet.
Oh, man.
I wonder if he got a name in the credits. Was he even named?
The only thing that was missing from that was the red shirt.
Yeah.
What's the problem? They're all bloody red shirts, aren't they?
But even, it's like, the funny thing is, though, as soon as he stops being, like, in charge, you know, as soon as he loses the riches and as soon as he's, like, I'm guessing his like number one guy. You know,
he becomes number two. Number two.
You know, like, so I'm guessing the other guy is now the king, kind of.
Yeah.
Right. So as soon as that happens, Tasha's like, "Yeah, I'm not really into you anymore."
Yeah.
It's like, so take away the man's power and money, and suddenly you're not into.
Yeah. Glory
Tasha.
Hunter.
Tasha.
Oh yeah, because she says, "Oh, you can still have him," and like, I don't really want him now. I mean, to be fair, she's probably just saying just to get rid of him, you know.
Yeah.
But she could have said it a better way. It's just like,
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, she really rubs in the song. She's like, you know what? I pity you.
That's God. It, yeah.
But, you know, I still need dealing with Data.
You're right. And then, you know, kind of to round off this episode, after all this action and all this, you know, fair enough, after thinking about it a bit more, there is actually a plot to this. It's all about stealing money from his wife. You know, that kind of makes sense. But after all of this, how do they end it? Oh, yeah, Wesley, you're still on the bridge. What? They walk on the bridge and he's like, everyone's just staring at Wesley in the operation seat, and Picard walks on and is just like, oh yeah, go on then, you can go now, mate. And Data sits down and he's like, get my stuff, I like it.
You've got crisps on the thing.
My seat, you know? And I'm just like, of all the ways to end the episode, the only thing it needed was ha 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 and a freeze frame.
Oh, yeah. You know? In fact, there's a bit of that later. There's quite a bit of that, isn't there? In fact, a lot of these episodes are like, ha ha, let's go to our next job, number one. Everything's great now. And warp like, one, engage.
Freeze frame. You know? And it's just, oh, so it's all very odd. So she chooses this other guy as his number one. So now it's like she has the power of choice. And is she the one in charge?
You know what? At this point, I don't care about what's going on.
It's just, there's a lot of questions by the end of it.
And we don't see these people ever again.
So that
There's no comic book about this race. What are they even called again?
I overdid my notes on that one, so I apologize, guys.
No.
I talked loads, but oh man, that episode was there was just so much. I needed to make sure I was meticulous with that one because there was so much
to talk about.
It's just so infamous. Yeah.
But I would give it. What did I give? What did I give the last one? It's been 2 weeks now.
Oh, how many Gopplazorns did you give it?
I think I gave it five.
Five or six? Yeah, I think we gave it five or six. But
and that's the first episode's dropping slowly. With every episode, the first episode drops one.
This is a weird thing because, you know, the second one was so bad it's funny. And actually kind of entertaining in a weird way.
I kind of liked the first one, you know. I wasn't that against it. The second one even. The first, you know what, I like the first one as well, to be honest. It was a bit
silly. At least there was some character introduction, you know.
It was like space jellyfish, and I like space jellyfish. And Gopplazorn.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
The introduction to the best character in all of Star Trek.
Yeah. Honestly, this one, I think, is either on par with the last one, or maybe even a little less.
Oh, no, I'd say less.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't even find it enjoyable to watch. I know, you know, there's funny things about, no vaccine!
Yeah, but that's because we've made it funny.
But, you know, the Naked Now was funny bad. And I remember, it was one of the few ones I bought on VHS, had the Naked Now, Encounter at Firepoint, and Code of Honor. What great VHS
for you,
to have.
For you youngs out there, VHS tape is like your parents' cassette tape.
Damn you. But that, if I recall, like, you had three episodes on a VHS tape and it was like 40 quid.
Oh, man.
And then you get Encounter at Firepoint, Naked Now, and Code of Honor. But I do remember I would put on the Naked Now just to watch it on occasion because it was, you know, it was funny. But this one, actually draining feeling about it.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the references and stuff that you guys make it on a daily basis.
Because we had to make something out of it.
I would have watched this with no jokes or anything. I would have said, not referencing it to the things you guys say.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would have watched this and just been like, it's almost like it's, you know, I think they were trying to make it like, again, like a sort of, you know, like a murder mystery. Kind of like he killed the wife for the money kind of thing. But at this, but like in space. And it was
in space.
But I don't know. It just felt really weird and nothing matched up. Like, I think there were like two stories here that someone spilt coffee on and then just mixed them up. It was like, the fight to the death, but they're all, you know, like tribal people, but they're all, you know, high tech.
Get some tribal people.
It just seemed really like, it looks like someone just had leftover ideas and just shoved it into one
There's
story.
A lot about this, about like the, especially season one was a lot of leftover ideas from Star Trek Phase 2. They were going to do a TV show in the 70s, but then they ended up doing the movie. So there's loads. I don't think this was one of them actually, but there's probably bits they got from it. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, it's such a hot spot.
If we say that the last one was like the last one was a 4 or 5, this one is easily a 3 or 4.
I'd say 3.
I would have said maybe 2.5.
Yeah, do you know? Yeah, because there's nothing other than.
Did I enjoy it less than Escape from Farpoint? I did.
Yeah.
I liked Escape from Farpoint more than this. So you know what? I think this is. I'm gonna go. You know what? I'm gonna go two.
Because I'm trying to. I'm thinking as we go along. Can it guess? Does it get worse than this? Is this than the deer?
Don't say Shades of Grey. Sorry, I'm gonna have to say every time.
Do you know what I'm gonna? Because I don't think. Let's forget Shades of Grey. At least Shades of Grey has good episode parts in it. If you know what I mean. But this one, I don't think it actually gets, because this one's depressingly bad.
What am I going to do once we get to Shades of Grey?
I think we'll all have more Shades of Grey.
You'll never want to watch another episode after that.
So how many Gopplazorns? Come on. Two? Two Gopplazorns?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm with you, two.
Two Gopplazorns?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the next?
And for the fact that that episode would not be made now.
It would not.
Totally different.
Because I don't think
the premise of it is, I think, is good. It's just the execution. It's just
because the only thing that kept that series going was the fact. Yes, it was Star Trek, but it was also made for syndication. Well, so that, you know, it was not going to get cancelled anyway.
Like I say, I thought after watching Encounter at Farpoint while I was on holiday, I thought, no way this is going to last for more than one season.
And
you know, It's just gonna disappear.
And it takes. Okay, there are some good points in season two. Some very good points in season two.
There's a couple of good points in season one as well.
But like any,
you know,
it should have been. It would have been cancelled. And it's a shame because, you know, it ends up becoming really, really good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of shit to get through first.
Well, I think we've proved that.
Although, to be honest, I think this is the nadir. I think this is the worst. I think it does go... It goes up and down, but it does go up from here.
Well, we've got the Planet of the Naked People.
Planet of the Naked White People.
Planet of the Naked White People. Sorry, thank you.
Just hope that this episode of the podcast isn't Our Shades of Grey.
Remember that time on episode one when we did this, when we talked about this? That's what we should do for Shades of Grey. Yeah. We should just play clips of our other podcast. Oh, no, the thing is, Brandon's not getting it, but that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, oh, I'm so looking forward to Shades of Grey.
I've only ever watched that episode, I think, once. And I had it on in the background one time as well.
We should,
without even knowing about it when it was on
well,
Sky.
Well, basically, so for that episode of the podcast, you should walk in, sit down and get bitten by something for some reason.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly have fever dreams about previous episodes of the podcast. So what's next week's one? Hang on a minute.
It's the Jewish one.
Oh, is it the last outpost?
The land of the Jewish people, yeah.
The land of the is this the last outpost next?
Yeah, last outpost.
So
yeah.
The next week we are introduced to the Ferengi.
They are the big ones, yes.
And we'll talk about it then, but again, it's like these characters end up becoming quite cool. They end up becoming quite good, but they are totally set up in completely the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, the whole first episode is just like, but the Ferengi.
Oh yeah, in fact, they really try and G up the Ferengi. Yeah, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, because Groppler Zorn
mentioned exactly.
Yeah, Groppler Zorn was actually going to do an alliance with the Ferengi.
Absolutely.
So they're really set up, and they were meant to be this menacing character, like evil rats. I think they were described as.
I know this is probably not the right place to mention this, but one of my all-time favorite episodes of Star Trek is Little Green Men.
Oh, was that when they go in the past on DS9?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yes.
The Roswell one.
Yes, yeah.
I love that episode. With it's just the three Ferengi.
We'll do that in the DS9 cast. Oh,
I can sit and watch that episode over and over again.
Who's the captain on that one?
Sisko.
Oh. Who's the... I'll talk to you after about it.
But I think the last thing to say about this episode is I think it says a lot that... It's never referenced in any other... Like, Lower Decks mentions, like, the Naked Now. You know, every part of Star Trek has been referenced in other parts of Star Trek. Have you ever heard a reference to Code of Honor anywhere, even in Robot Chicken or anything like that? Nope. So, yeah, it's not... You can't even parody this episode. Yeah. It's that bad. Anyway, on that note... So, a good Groppler Zorn to you. Unless you have anything...
A good Groppler Zorn to you, my friend.
To you too.
And we apologise to every black person.
Every race ever.
Every year. For this episode being made, for us even talking about it.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Cue the theme song. Yeah.